What's up, everybody? This is Alex Kelly back here with another episode of the Furloughed Film Talks podcast, picking up my brother's birthday cards. Who's my brother?
It's me, Mario!
Who's that Pokemon? How are you, Ryan?
I'm good. How you doing?
We are back here with episode 125. Yeah, it's 125.
I thought last episode was 125.
No, last episode was 124.
You sure?
Yes, I'm 100% sure.
Okay.
100% sure that last episode was 124, as I quickly pull it up. Yeah, 124.
Okay.
Because that was a Spider-Man No Way Home episode. If you have not seen Spider-Man No Way Home, I found some people who have not seen Spider-Man No
Way. I know a few people haven't seen it.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'm surprised by those people.
Yeah.
Who hasn't seen Spider-Man, Ryan?
That's really fucking loud.
Yeah, I mean, why'd you turn on the fan? I'm like fucking...
I was kind of warm.
P57 Mustang mode.
Yeah.
Probably like half the people in my office haven't seen it, but they're all...
You
like,
work with... Yeah.
It's like twice my age, so...
Karen hasn't seen it?
Relax.
What?
Probably what? Not. Karen is... Okay. Fun. Karen is... Yeah, but
it's funny because
we shouldn't be doxing my coworkers.
But okay, that's like such a stereotypical name that most people will not think that that's like the actual name of your coworker.
When right? In reality, right.
It is.
But like, if you know the person who does, the person in my office who does occasionally listen to this podcast, listens to this episode, and then goes out and smokes with Karen, and is like, oh, you won't believe what I fucking heard over the weekend.
So fuck Karen because she doesn't.
Stop the recording. And go back.
No, because Karen doesn't occasionally listen to the episode. That's what I meant.
Like, Karen's a fantastic lady.
Yeah.
So is everyone I work with.
We love everybody that you work with.
Yeah. So Merry Christmas, everybody.
We're telling everybody to go fuck themselves.
How was your Christmas, Alex?
Great, Ryan. We had the same fucking Christmas. Except somebody didn't stay over at Mom and Dad's house.
No, I aborted that. Yeah. It's like, no, did you enjoy Christmas?
No.
You want to air?
So,
you
want to
air?
No, I don't.
This is our therapy time for
somebody else actually listens to these
for
episodes.
Our traumatic Christmas.
I don't know if she'll actually listen to this one or not, but
Grammy?
Yeah, Grammy does because she can actually partake in that.
Yeah, it's the one thing.
If this was video, like you are so abhorrent to do, she would not.
Why do you all of a sudden want to do video? I don't get it. Like.
Because YouTube is a good avenue. We got to get more YouTube.
Okay, then we got to like
stuff out there.
We got to set up a space.
You did clean.
I did. Yeah, I did get rid of all the trash and the broken bookshelf.
Are you just like throwing that away?
What else am I going to do with it? It's like six pieces.
What happened
here? I don't know, Alex. It was like that.
All right. Well, you are hearing us at our craziest right now.
We can do video. You just have to give me like some notice. Cause I like got home from work and like changed, and now I'm just in.
But you don't you want to look pretty? For
I do.
Video?
Yeah, I'd like to, if we're gonna put a video on YouTube for perpetuity. I'd
you
like to
look
like,
fine. Your face looks fine. It's literally just put a shirt on.
Yeah, I just need to put a shirt on.
You could literally be Woody.
What if I don't have a clean shirt though?
You did the laundry yesterday. I know.
So?
You
didn't know that.
I literally did. I know you did. Okay. I live with you.
All right.
This is already the most off the rails episode we've ever had. And we're 180 bars in from what GarageBand tells me. But everybody, thank you for checking out this episode of the Furloughed Film Talks podcast. That was the cold opening of the Furloughed Film Talks podcast. We are back here on a Monday to talk a fuck ton of shit. Hope everybody had a great Christmas.
Yes, apologies to our rabid fans for being a day late with the episode.
Vinny. looked like he had a good Christmas.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, Merry Christmas, Vinny. Looked like you got everything you wanted.
Yeah, we got to have Vinny on sooner rather than later. So, we have multiple... Basically, this is going to be an entire review episode. There's been some news out lately. Not a ton.
Kind of a slow week.
Yeah, it's just... This is usually the time that kind of shit kind of slows down. So, we're going to stay away from that.
One thing we should talk about. Have you heard of this Nicolas Cage movie that's coming out?
Yes.
The unbearable weight of
massive talent,
endless talent, or something like that. Have you seen the trailer?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Do you know who stars in it?
I know. Well, obviously Nicolas Cage
and
Pedro Pascal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pedro Pascal.
Right.
Who is in The Mandalorian?
Who is good friend of the show's husband's best friend?
Yes.
In a roundabout way, we're connected to Pedro Pascal.
I like the reach. I like it a lot.
What was her name?
Damn it, Ryan. Elvira Lynn.
Elvira. Shout out to Elvira. Thank you so much.
Married to Oscar Isaac.
Fantastic short film.
Who is best friends with Pedro Pascal. Who they like celebrated New Year's with last year.
Last year.
So I guarantee they'll be doing something for this New Year's. This coming Friday. So yeah.
You're going to guarantee that?
Guarantee. Okay. Jot it down.
Alex Kelly guarantee.
Put it on the sports books.
That's something, you know, that
happened,
I guess.
Cool.
Looks cool.
Awesome. We have two movies to talk about, as well as the ending of an MCU show. Hawkeye season finale premiered last Wednesday. We just kind of dicked around and finally got around to it.
Stuff was going on, man.
Stuff was going on. Like our mother fucking getting really pissed at our grandmother.
I was going to say, like, you know, birthday, bowl games, Christmas.
Yeah, that stuff.
But yeah, you can jump straight. Who had a birthday? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
So
anyways, we also have a fucking weird Benicio Del Toro movie. Not Benicio Del Toro.
Guillermo
Del Toro movie to talk about. Nightmare Alley, starring Bradley Cooper, Toni Collette.
Willem Dafoe.
Other people. Cate Blanchett. As well as Ron Perlman and some midget guy. Interesting movie. So, we'll get to that here in a little bit.
Nightmare Alley.
Yes, and we also have to talk about...
The Kingsman.
The Kingsman. Not Kingsmen, Kingsman.
Which is honest, if I'm being honest, it's the my favorite thing that we're going to review today.
Really?
Fuck yeah!
Interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
Power rank the three things we're gonna so the people know what to jump to.
Okay. So for me, it's gonna be Kingsman up top.
Okay.
At one.
Okay.
I think we have to go with Nightmare Alley at two.
Oh wow!
And then Hawkeye at number three.
Mine is completely flipped.
Is it really?
Yeah, I was gonna go Hawkeye, then Nightmare Alley, then Kingsman.
Okay. I mean, to each your own, but
yeah.
Yeah. I enjoy Kingsman.
Cool. Don't listen to the rest of the episode.
Stay tuned for our Jindo Max Head ratings of...
I'll link in exactly when to go to the Max Jindo Head ratings for all three. But first, we are going to jump into the one that Ryan hated the most.
I just disliked it so much
and just would like it if Jeremy Renner took a jump off a cliff. Instead of
I was halfway expecting Jeremy Renner to die in this movie, in this show.
This movie. So did I, honestly. But we'll get into that first. Hawkeye season finale on the Disney Plus with a lot of people, including Haley Steinfeld.
Yep.
Who plays Kate Bishop.
And
Kate,
Florence Pugh.
It's Kate Bishop, bro, who plays...
Who, Florence Pugh?
Yes.
Yelena Bakalova?
Yes, it's Lena Belova.
And we're retconning it to Bakalova.
Bakalova, all right. Yeah, Kevin Feige. Why does that character history.
If they're sisters, why does Yelena and Natasha not have the same last name?
Because they were adopted.
Okay. Like...
I don't know past that.
Well, so... They were adopted by... The
Russian government.
The parents that then, like, sent them to the Russian government?
No, I think they were literally, like, orphaned, and then the Russian government... Or, like, no.
Okay, the Russian government... The family that they're with in Black Widow when they're in America...
Yes.
That's their adoptive parents, right? No,
those are also agents who, like, the Russian government put that family together.
Right, I get that. That family had, like, a name, right? They had, like, a surname.
Yeah, which I don't know.
Like, I just don't get why they don't go by
they
that.
Don't take that.
Or they don't, like, they didn't pick
comics,
up, like...
comics, Ryan.
They didn't pick up, like, a common name. Because comics. Instead, it's Natasha Romanoff and it's Yelena Bakalova.
Because it's the comics. That's why.
That's not... Okay.
I'm just like that's
not a satisfactory answer.
Well,
really, but
some of this like it's not gonna be satisfactory.
Okay,
you looking at your Starbucks gift card?
Yeah, I don't know why. Like,
yeah, I don't. That's neither here nor there.
I'm just putting some of my stacks of gift cards over here.
Jesus Christ, what is all this?
You got Starbucks, Best Buy,
Bruce Chris, where we're never Chris. Getting to.
Add Chipotle to the stack.
Get it? I thought you were getting Chipotle tonight.
I'm gonna get Chipotle tonight.
Cool.
Are we really staying on topic? Christ's sake.
No, we're not. This is just like the fucking crazy. I was going to want to do, okay, real quick. I wanted to do like a top 10 of the year tonight, but like I never texted you.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. So
that's the thing we do like towards the Oscars.
But it's better like at the end of the year.
Okay. We'll do one next. We'll do one next weekend because it'll like truly be the new year.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool,
just
cool.
Remind me like at least by Saturday or something.
Ryan, this
what you doing for New Year's, by the way?
God damn it.
What are your plans?
I think we're going to Garrett's.
Oh, Garrett's having a little shindig?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Are you going to come with?
We'll see. We'll see
cool. That. No, happens. Answer right now.
Probably not.
Yes or no?
Probably not.
Why not?
Yes, you know.
You know? Is that what you just fucking said?
I've got plans.
Bullshit, you have fucking plans.
Me and my Xbox have plans.
Yeah, you're going to fuck it in its USB-C port?
Dude, what? You try not to get sponsored by Microsoft?
Not at all. I didn't think you liked Bill Gates.
Bill Gates? I mean, I don't particularly. He's kind of a...
You and your QAnon motherfucker.
This is not QAnon! He like confirmed it was on Jeffrey Epstein's plane. Granted, so was Trump a bunch of times, but... it's neither here nor there.
Anyways,
Bill Clinton has like... Oh my God. You know, the trophy for a number of times on the... Lolita Express. Anyways, Hawkeye. Speaking of Lolita Express, Haley Steinfeld.
Christ almighty. So, this wraps up the basically Matt Fraction live action adaptation that they're doing through the Disney Plus. Some interesting stuff happened.
it's good review.
Yeah, thank you. I'm trying not to spoil shit for people.
Some interesting things happen. Some
cool stuff happens.
Some things were funny. Die.
A tree gets cut in half.
That was cool. Okay, I think that's kind of where we can start. Is basically
let's finally get into the actual
this entire
shit.
Episode was just Disney Plus destroying NBC property.
Yeah, do we want to like? Do we want to be those guys that just like is like conspiracy theorists of like?
There's no conspiracy theory. Yeah, like it's like super obvious what they're doing.
What? Okay.
Like they even showed the NBC Comcast like plaque on the wall of like the building they're blowing up.
There had to be an agreement that they're like, yeah, we can use this.
No, there's not. No,
that building.
It's a public landmark. Like,
if it was like, I don't know, man. Like there had to have been some like
no,
some
so.
Agreement between
even their logo. Like NBC was started how many decades ago? Like at this point, it's public domain, so they
1900s.
Can, yeah,
like,
and
like early. I think like
I'm sure it's copyrights like 50 or 75 years.
Yeah, all right.
Whatever it is, like no, there's no. I mean, doesn't NBC and Disney?
I can't wait for the retaliation from NBC when they start fucking on like the Disney logo or something.
I mean, if they wanted to go really hard, like, did you hear that Winnie the Pooh is coming off copyright in the new year?
No,
they could just do like a like Winnie the Pooh murder porn MAGA or something.
What the fuck? Is it really coming off copyright?
Yeah. Like New Year's Day.
I'm writing my new manuscript tomorrow.
Nope. Okay. Did you finish the one from last week?
No, I've got like five in the work. okay. Anyways, Hawkeye finally wraps its shit up. I'm going to try and like start this for the fourth time now.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't even know where to fucking start with this.
I mean, basic synopsis really is Kate Bishop finds out that her mom murked a dude, is in league with Kingpin. Now she's trying to stop Kingpin and also trying to stop the Tracksuit Mafia from killing her mom because she walked away from the Kingpin. And so, like, there's this big, you know, cluster of...
Yeah. Let's start right there.
Okay.
What'd you think of Kingpin? Because you had watched... Spoilers. I'll add in the sound right here, but... Three, two, one... Spoilers for the rest on out.
Sorry for everyone who
has
headphones in or something.
Yeah, or in a car.
Yeah.
You've seen all of the Daredevil show.
I have not.
Fuck me in the ass. you've seen most of the Daredevil show.
I've seen a portion of the Daredevil show. I've seen all of...
You are not my brother.
I know. I've seen all of the Punisher, and I've seen a decent amount of Daredevil.
Okay, so...
But I don't think I've seen any Daredevil or, like... Or I don't remember any of the Daredevil show where Kingpin was in it.
I was watching most of that last week.
Okay.
What did you think of Kingpin in this episode?
I mean, he was all right, you know? And so, like, if you don't... If you hadn't watched Daredevil, I think you would be, like, mightily confused as to what's going on and, like, why this guy's important.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, for someone who's not in depth, I'm not, like, I don't have a strong connection. I don't know all that much about Kingpin.
Yeah.
So, like, and they didn't really set much up in this show about Kingpin.
Yeah.
They basically said, like, oh, your mom, you know, this is what I was worried about, and your mom is, like, in league with this guy who, like, is in some way running the tracksuit mafia for, you know, one of the big leagues in the New York City underground. So, like, I thought it was... He's, like, a really interesting character. And, I mean, you know, the actor did a great job. It's a
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah, it's a very good performance. It's just, like, I'm, you know... like
the same guy that was from the Daredevil show.
Yeah, exactly. And there was some weird shit where, like... Kate Bishop is fighting Kingpin.
Yeah.
After her... You know, her mom, like, goes GTA on him and slams a Mercedes-Benz into him.
Yeah, and he throws him through, like, a
storefront. Yeah, when that happened, I was like, okay, this guy's dead. Yeah. Like, you know, you get hit by a Mercedes-Benz going 50 miles an hour, you're dead. But no, he just pops up and starts kicking Kate Bishop's ass.
Just supposed to show, like, his strength. Like, he is in the comics, like, and you saw Into the Spider-Verse, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's a big motherfucker. Like, he's
okay, supposed okay.
to be a big motherfucker.
Yeah, he's a big dude, but, like, that doesn't explain how, you know, he probably should have had every bone in his body broken. Like,
yeah.
I asked you, like, halfway through that fight, does this guy have, like, super soldier serum or something? Just you explain to me he's a big dude does not explain the fact that, like... And then... Like, Kate Bishop...
It's not supposed to explain. It's just literally, like, in the comics, it's like, he's a big motherfucker, and that's Kate how he Bishop survives.
Kate Bishop literally, like, blew this guy up, and yeah. It took a bullet to the forehead from Echo in order to take this guy down.
Which...
Spoilers.
He's not dead.
But what?
Guarantee you he's not dead.
He's 100% dead.
Guarantee it.
What? You think
Alex Kelly, fucking comic book, nerd, whatever, guarantee... He ain't fucking dead.
So he's gonna be in the Echo show?
Kingpin ain't fucking dead. Yeah, I mean, dude, okay. He ain't dead, dude. Like, granted, fuck
we didn't see the body, but... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty explicit.
He ain't dead.
In any case, what I think of Kingpin...
Because it's cool the shot. Cool. It's a shot, and, like, yeah, you don't see it happen.
Right.
You don't see body drop. She probably shot off to the side. They're going to do something where, like, she shot off to the side because
uh-huh.
she's so, like, heartbroken that this guy killed her dad, even though she thought of him as, like, a father figure.
How many shots were there?
One. Hmm. She's going to let him go. He ain't dead.
You know what guaranteed. Really, you know what would have been really cool, though?
What's that?
If she shot twice on either side of his head and made him deaf.
There's actually precedent for that in the comics.
Oh, really?
There's also like comic there. There's not precedent for him going deaf. There's precedent for him going blind, which is why people think he got shot in the eye.
Then he'd be dead. He'd be dead.
Yeah.
How do you get shot in the eye? You'd live. I mean, sure.
Comic books.
Whatever. Wasn't there a movie that we're supposed to review last weekend that we, like, skipped over?
Yeah, Nightmare Alley. Yeah, because we were going to do it. We saw Spider-Man.
Uh-huh.
And then we saw...
You're right. Okay, cool.
Stopping down the whole episode to figure out what the fuck we had.
It was bothering me, because yeah. I couldn't think of which movie it was. All right, I think we, you know...
Oh, we're still not done with this. Fuck you.
Okay.
I loved Hawkeye. I fucking, like...
No, I really liked it. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
I think the dynamic between Jeremy Renner and Hailee Steinfeld is... the best of the Disney Plus shows.
For sure.
And I think they just did it in such a grounded way that, like, it worked so fucking well.
Mm-hmm.
And I had seen some people being like, oh, Disney Plus, like, shows, they don't stick the landings, and Hawkeye continues that. And it's like, no, like, this fucking, like, I think this stuck the landing.
Yeah, I think it did too. And like, literally any scene with Kate Bishop and Yelena was, like, the best part of the show.
Yeah.
And if you ask me to, like, you know, power rank all the Disney Plus shows so far,
yeah.
I would 100% put Hawkeye at number one.
Yeah. It's so, not even close.
Yeah, like, it, you know. Great show. I mean, there's some, like, obvious faults to it. Like, Kingpin apparently can't die. In some other, like, the fight outside 30 Rock where every single Tracksuit Mafia guy up until a certain point is fighting with a gun, is running out of their vans with a gun, and then the swords guy, the swordsman shows up with his sword, and all of a sudden people start popping up with swords. That was like, that was the most absurd thing I'd ever seen in like any superhero. In any Disney,
in this show, just say in this show.
No. In any Disney Plus show.
All right. Yeah.
Let's
pull that back a bit.
That was a serious plot hole, I guess.
Ryan, what would you give Hawkeye on?
There we go.
Five. Okay. Yeah, you're welcome. You're fucking welcome. You piece of shit.
Be nice.
I'm just saying, I saved your ass. On a
match. Is there something else you'd like to?
No, like, that's the thing. It's a good ending to the show, but there's not much to it.
Right, it's a very light show.
Yeah, they succinctly wrap up everything, but it doesn't feel like they pulled the rug out from under you at any point.
Right.
And it didn't feel like they teased something that didn't then happen. So I think, and plus the dynamics between the characters worked so fucking well that, like, you just kind of forgave some things. And right. So I think, and on top of that, you have Echo be introduced. Kingpin comes back. Yelena and Kate's relationship. Swordsman.
So Yelena and Clint's relationship.
Yes. Even. Yeah, 100%. And yeah, you
that was a very touching moment between him and Yelena where,
well, and she's on top of that,
describing how Natasha died.
Oh, dude. But then you have on top of that, you have like the confirmation that Clint's wife is now an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. She probably was Mockingbird. So it's like you had all this lore within the show that just kind of like really paid off and didn't feel forced. And so I think, like, for all that, and I think that's why we don't have much to talk about, is because it wrapped everything up so well. There's not much to discuss. It did it so right. well.
And it was just like a really, really straightforward season, plot-wise. Yeah. Like, it wasn't, you know... WandaVision and Loki were very... Oh, I felt convoluted.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know... Falcon and the Winter Soldier... Like, it didn't have so much of a convoluted plot... but it just, like, it was straightforward and kind of, like, not really deep or impactful as much. Wherein, like, with Hawkeye, they're able to tie in the connection between Clint and Natasha and Yelena. And then you have, you know, Kate Bishop's tie-in with Clint as she, you know, saw him save her during the Battle of New York. So... I felt it was, you know, a little bit of a better of a show than...
Ryan, what would you give it on a max Jindo Head rating? And then we have a...
For the whole season or for the episode?
No, the season. Then we have a surprise announcement real fast.
Oh, okay. I'll give it a 4.25 out of 5 Jindo Max Heads.
All right. I'd probably give it a 4. 4 out of 5.
Okay.
I think it's between an 80 and a 90% on whatever stupid fucking rating system somebody would use.
Chill.
Yeah, just an amazing show. Definitely go fucking check it out on Disney Plus. Ryan, you ready for a surprise announcement?
Sure.
Plano Base Cinemark opens its theaters for college football playoffs.
Yeah, didn't we see that ad the other day?
I didn't.
Yeah. There was an ad before Kingsman.
No, literally.
They were going to show to the semis.
Did they?
Yeah.
Before the fucking... Okay, well...
It was like a really... it was like not even a video. It was just like a PowerPoint slide.
Okay, so like this is an ad that literally is from today. Or it's an article from today from dallas.culturemap.com. The Cinemark Movie Theater chain is hosting an unusual series aimed at college football fans. Has teamed up with ESPN to bring the college football playoffs to the big screen. to both the semis and the national championship. So,
okay,
here is a unpaid for ad from Cinemark. Go check out the semifinals of the college football playoffs.
Cinemark, you should really sponsor us. We watch about 95% of our movies at your theaters.
Yeah, I'm going to hit up Cinemark Senior VP Justin McDaniels.
We would even promote your weird Bollywood movies over at Cinemark Legacy.
Literally, and most of the Cinemarks that you guys own. In a statement, it'll be a one-of-a-kind viewing experience that will make viewers feel like they're part of the on-field action. Quote, "We are thrilled to offer an incredible opportunity for college football fans to gather and cheer on their teams in our immersive auditoriums with larger-than-life screens and surround sounds." Go fuck yourself, McDaniels.
Jesus. Don't say that. We're trying to woo this guy.
I woo no one, Ryan.
And that's why we haven't made a cent off this podcast to date.
Exactly. As we are about to go to...
Is that one of those new, like, indestructible iPhones?
Kind of, yeah. Why? Just, what you thinking, Ryan?
Just want to test this thing out.
No, you don't.
Okay.
No. I can shoot cinematic mode on this thing, supposedly.
Can you?
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, maybe you should finish one of your transcripts and we can...
What are my transcripts? Is that what you mean, Ryan?
Transcripts.
I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
Anyways, which one are we doing first? Nightmare Alley or Kings Fan?
We're closer to your birthday, so we'll let you pick.
Okay. Let's just do it the order we see. Let's do Nightmare Alley, just so we get that one done.
Like, it's a burden upon you, you piece of shit.
It's a cross we have to carry, reviewing the Nightmare Alley.
Guillermo del Toro movie. Ryan, Nightmare Alley came out a couple weeks ago, starring Bradley Cooper and also Cate Blanchett.
Yes.
It also has Willem Dafoe and our boy Clifton Collins Jr., who we've never actually talked to.
Who's the chick in The French Dispatch who's like giving the presentation at the museum and she accidentally showed one of her nudes? That's not Kate Blanchett, is it?
No. That's a chick from James Bond, No Time to Die.
No, it's not.
I'm almost positive. The black and white.
Not the model. But you know how like there's a scene where
Rooney Mara is also in this movie.
Yeah, Rooney Mara's in it. So in The French Dispatch, like she's like the narrator for that story.
A little vignette.
Yeah, and where she's like on a stage, like,
no, it's Tilda Swinton.
Tilda Swinton.
Yeah, okay.
She like pops up the picture of herself. She's like, oh dear God.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, I do remember that now.
That movie. That is easily top, like, five movie.
Dude, that's an underrated.
It's so great. We have so many movies still to see, too.
Yeah, no, I was thinking
about... It's, like, overwhelming.
It is. I think I'm seeing Licorice Pizza tomorrow, and I'm...
You bitch.
Do you want to go see that, Ryan?
I
thought you were bitching about that movie.
I mean, like...
And?
I'm bitching about that movie, but we're going to have to see it.
Okay.
And I kind of want to roast it, if it's roastable. Okay. But, you know. Anyways, Nightmare Alley. In 1940s New York, down on his luck, Stanton Carlisle endears himself to a clairvoyant and her mentalist husband at a traveling carnival. Using newly acquired knowledge, Carlisle crafts a golden ticket to success by swindling the elite and wealthy. Hoping for a big score, he soon hatches a scheme to con a dangerous tycoon with help from a mysterious psychiatrist who might be his most formidable opponent yet.
Okay, so you said, like, meets a mentalist and her husband. Is that what it was there?
No, the husband is a mentalist.
Yes.
And she is a clairvoyant.
Okay. The mentalist is David Strathern.
Yeah.
Which, if you... don't recognize the name. If anybody had said that's a name to me, I'd have been like, who the fuck is that?
But
like,
no,
as soon as you saw the face, which is like the guy that I saw when I saw the face, I was like, oh my God, I love that guy. He kind of starts and kind of pulls you into the beginning of the movie. I love that guy. I love that guy so much.
He's in Nomadland.
Yeah. He plays Francis McDormand's love interest in Nomadland. He also stars in Good Night and Good Luck, which is not one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, they're adapting Where the Crawdads Sing?
I guess so, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And he's in it.
Apparently.
So he plays a mentalist that Bradley Cooper kind of like learns all of his tricks of the trade from.
And then mercs.
And then straight up fucking more like, it's not outright said, but it's like implied he gave poison to. Mm-hmm.
Well, he gave him the wrong, the poisonous type of alcohol.
Yeah,
because they actually had like real drinking alcohol and then wood alcohol for whatever purpose at a carnival. And he gave him the wood alcohol, which is deadly.
Yes.
Yeah. This Carlisle guy is a piece of work.
Yes, that's Bradley Cooper's character.
Yes, Stanton. Is there a more 1940s name, Stanton Carlisle?
No, that's. I mean, it's.
Bro, I want to name my kid Stanton.
I mean, it's from a book, so.
Is this a book?
I didn't know. It was a book that was then made into a movie in the 40s that this is adapted from. So, Ryan.
Okay.
What was your overall, and not interpretation, just like feeling from this movie?
Okay, so this, like from start to finish, this whole movie just was kind of like uncomfortable, right?
100%.
Like, if you think back to seeing Shape of Water, which was like, I think his last movie, Guillermo del Toro's last movie.
Which, fuck that movie for winning Best Picture, but whatever.
For real. When I think about that movie, like, the word that comes to mind that, like, I felt through most of it was, like, intrigue. Because it's, you know, it's very, like, mysterious what's happening. And it's kind of, you know, this very intriguing storyline. Until the lady fucks the fish, then the feeling you have is very uncomfortable.
I was like, hold on a second. I thought we were still talking about Nightmare Alley for a second. And I heard fucking fish. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, no. The
Which, like, okay.
Nice, I think she's deaf in that movie, too.
Yeah.
The nice deaf lady has sexual intercourse
with the fish.
The merman.
And she floods her bathroom, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Which probably wouldn't work.
More power to you.
Here's anyways, thing. But no.
All right.
But Nightmare Alley, from start to finish, the word that comes to mind is just, like, uncomfortable. And it's uncomfortable in the way of, like, they start this movie out by Stanton Carlisle dragging a dead body, putting it in the floorboards of an abandoned home, and then lighting the home on fire. Yep. So, from the jump, it's, like, literally the first scene in the movie. So, from the jump, you know that this guy is, like, bad news. And you are just on kind of like on the edge of your seat as to what he's going to do next. Who's he going to like screw over next? How is all this like? And also, you don't even know really the general direction that Stanton Carlisle is going until a good like 20 to 30 minutes into the movie. Because you're just like, okay, this guy murdered somebody, and now he's like obviously joining up with the carnival to make a little bit of money, and also because it's an easy way to evade law enforcement. But you're not really sure, like, okay, what's actually happening here? I'm just like kind of out of balance as to what he's going to do next. And then once he like meets the mentalist and starts taking the lessons there and starts kind of putting that into use at the carnival, then you're like, okay, now he's definitely a murderer. Now he's a con man. That seems like a deadly mix. And from there, it's just kind of a wild ass ride into
insanity,
the pits of hell for this character.
But like, I think the thing about this movie that I've like found really interesting, and it's something that Guillermo del Toro said, is spoilers from here on out, I'm going to just use that as my like tagline, I guess, is when you watch this movie, it's supposed to be cyclical. Yes. You should be able to start it and then end it, but then that character's story starts again from that ending. So the geek that he is
at the end of the movie,
yes, that's cyclical. You can see him going through that entire process.
You need to like explain what the geek is.
Okay, so in this world of carnival,
in the carnival world,
there is somebody who is the geek who is a man or beast. If you've seen the trailers or you've seen the ads, you've heard that in the ads. Is he man or beast? It's Willem Dafoe saying that, and he basically is this guy who will do the most fucked up things in the carnival, And for this geek, it's basically biting the head of the chicken off.
Yeah, it's like just eating a live chicken, basically.
Which, like, the geek is a down-on-his-luck person who's willing to do whatever. And this person is, like, a drunk who will bite the head of a chicken off. Mm-hmm. And he gets... Willem Dafoe's character explains it that the way he gets his geeks is by basically drugging them.
Well, he finds someone who's already an alcoholic, and then he
puts something in
it. And then he like doses the alcohol that he entices them with opium. So he then gets him addicted to opium, which is not a good combo.
No. And so you have this person, and he's explained this to Bradley Cooper. And so as you go through the movie, he's this guy who's like, I never drink alcohol. Mm-hmm. And Kate Blanchett is like, oh, you say never, but then she's the one that starts to get him to drink alcohol.
Yeah.
And then it goes down that cycle where she fucks him over, and
That is like a super interesting part of the movie, because he knew he was an alcoholic. Like,
you think so?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Okay, interesting. Yeah. Like
either, because of his dad, or
no. Either else? He like had the experience of like as being a young adult of drinking and not being able to stop. Either like he had the experience of knowing he was an alcoholic, or he had the experience of like, okay, I know that my dad was an alcoholic. I know that someone like, you know, maybe my grandmother was an alcoholic, and like if you're an alcoholic, you can just like spot your like tendencies in other parts of your life. Like, if you're an alcoholic, you're also going to be like, you know, fucking obsessive with other shit in your life. So it's pretty easy to like parse out, you know, if I start drinking, am I going to have a problem with it?
Well, and that's what I took from that, is because like, and somebody that we know has said that. Uh-huh. Has said, like, I don't do that because I saw somebody in my life who did that all the time. And so that's what I took from it, was I never do it because I saw my dad do it, and therefore I don't drink. But then Kate Blanchett's character basically not forced him, but like kind of persuaded him.
Yeah, peer pressured him in a very strong sense.
Into drinking, and then he becomes a drunk. And then when he kind of goes down that road where he gets screwed over, he goes down that road of drinking, and then he becomes that geek.
It's also really interesting. So it's
supposed to be kind of cyclical.
Because there's like two types of alcoholics. There's a type of alcoholic where like it's in your genes. So no matter what you do, if you ever drink ever, you're going to have an issue with it. Mm. Or there's the type of alcoholic that like where you basically turn yourself into an alcoholic. Because like,
interesting,
you know, you might not have the genetic precondition for it, or like
predisposition
where you start drinking, you can't stop yourself. Mm. It could be where like, you just force yourself to drink so much, like out of habit or out of like bad times, you actually like kind of turn into an alcoholic.
Interesting. And I'm going to ask this question.
And I'm not sure which one he is. I would like kind of, I would turn more towards that he like, is predisposed to it. Because typically if you're like an alcoholic that happens over time, it takes a long, long time to like develop into the point where like you'll bite chickens' heads off for money.
Yeah.
So and like that transition for him happened like super quickly.
It's an interesting thought though. So there are some where it's genetic, but then there are somebody who go down that road just like naturally.
Not naturally. It's just like a, you know, like normal course of their life. Like, let me put it this way. If you're a Goldman Sachs executive in like 2007 and I came and said like, hey, by the way, the financial markets are going to crash, you're going to lose your job, you're going to lose your home in the Hamptons, your wife's going to divorce you, your kids are going to move away from you,
and then you like
spend the next 18 months insanity. Doing nothing but drinking whiskey, you know, a fifth of whiskey every night, you're going to turn into an alcoholic. It's impossible you don't turn into an alcoholic. Okay.
My question then is, does that action then doom their kids from then on out?
No. It doesn't, like, it doesn't turn the gene on.
You sure?
Yeah, for sure.
That's an interesting thought, though. Like, would that then turn the gene? Would that then change?
I'm almost positive it doesn't.
Okay.
And it's
but you
also,
see what I'm saying? Yeah, like, yeah, you see the thought process? Because it's almost like, if that's then who you become, does that then not get passed down to your children? Especially if it happens at a younger age. Well, like, let's say it's 17, 18, 19. Mm-hmm. Does that then change the predisposition, your genetics toward that thing?
It won't change your genetics. I mean, it'll change, like, you know, the environment that the children are raised in. So, yeah, like, environmentally, it'll, you know, affect them. That's like, you know, typically the genetic predisposition for alcoholism skips generations. So typically what you'll have is, like, you know, an alcoholic father. The kids will see an alcoholic father and none of them will have a problem with it for whatever reason. And then it, like, skips to the next generation.
Interesting.
Which is not, like, foolproof as
we can. No, none of this shit's foolproof. It's all just fucking crazy shit. Anyways, we haven't really touched on kind of the supernatural part of this movie.
Is there supernatural parts to it?
Well, there's, like, it's supposed to be supernatural parts, which, like, this is the part of the movie that I really kind of enjoyed the most of, was you had these people who were trying to basically swindle people out of money through not supernatural stuff, but let's just call it carnival stuff.
Well, it's literal
sleight of hand.
Cons.
Yeah. But
elaborate cons. Like,
I liked them showing kind of what the carnival was, but then everybody kind of explained how they did it. It was the kind of the background behind it. I liked that aspect of it, where it was like, hey, everything that you see that's supposed to be mystical or, like, you know, part of, like, the carnival, here's how it really happened. Like, let's be real about what's happening here. So it was never like this Bradley Cooper guy, like, he can totally fucking, like, talk to whoever's, you know, dead kid.
Right.
So it was very much setting up, like, these aren't great people and these aren't, like, real shit that's happening. I thought that was a great way to, like, set the start of the movie up. I enjoyed that aspect of it.
It is really cool, too, that, you know, it's a, like, type of business that could only exist through maybe the early 90s. Like, if you think about it, there's no way that can really exist in the modern age, because, of course, like, someone's going to Google, you know, like, what the con is or what the trick is or whatever. Yeah. Like, there's no way you could run con tricks like this in the modern age.
No.
So it's really interesting that, you know, not only did they, like, set the world in the carnival of the 1940s, but they also gave you, like, the backdrop of it. Because it was a time when, you know, the vast majority of people could probably be tricked. You know, people in all walks of life in this movie are tricked, right? Like, you have the common person who goes through a carnival, and then you had, like, the richest person, one of the richest people in the country, also tricked by it.
Yeah.
So, you know, even to the point that, like, you know, there was two characters, and one was tricked to the point where she killed her husband and shot herself in the face.
That was a pretty shocking moment.
To be reunited with her son. It's like, yeah, that is the, like, if you want a really good feel for, like, how tense this movie is, you know, once the snowball got started at the end of the movie with all the reveals and, like, everything, you know, happening one by one, and this character that had been formerly working with with Sam and Carlisle to, like, communicate with her dead son. Like, just out of nowhere, they cut back to that character, like, way after the scene she had originally been in, and kills her husband, kills herself, you know, under the premises of she's going to be, you know, reconnected with her dead son. Like, heavy shit.
I'm going to blow Ryan's fuck. I'm going to piss him off intensely right now.
Okay.
You say, like, nobody would believe this type of shit. But yet we have people in Dallas, like, believing that JFK Jr. is going to come back and JFK is going to come back. And, like, maybe not one-to-one, but, like, somebody shooting their husband because it's, like, I could see it. Like, I could see something that batshit crazy happening. But it's because, like...
I mean, I get what you're saying. We have the internet.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like 30 people, you know...
That's more than there fucking should be. Like,
I'm just saying, there's 30 people in Dallas that believe that JFK was going to come back and be president. But millions of people...
How many QAnon fuckers?
No. What I'm saying is, like, there's millions of people that... would go through carnivals every year back in the day, right?
True.
So like,
but
it's...
But, legitimately speaking, how many QAnon
are there? There's millions of QAnon people, but, like, yeah. That ranges the spectrum of people who believe that, you know, Hillary Clinton was raping kids in the bottom of a pizza parlor, all the way to the, you know, very reasonable beliefs of, like, you know, the CIA has an undue influence over our day-to-day politics.
Yeah, but, like...
So,
if you,
like...
If you grant one the, like, legitimacy, then it, like, legitimizes all of it. And it's like,
That's not true. How's that possibly true?
Because if you say, like, oh, hey, maybe QAnon's right on this one, then it's like, oh, like, what the
no,
fuck?
No, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about a QAnon's right.
Okay.
We're talking about what the QAnon believers believe is true. Right? It's two very different things.
Most people within QAnon believe crazy ass shit. And most of it was started by, what was that fucker's name? Code Monkey.
Well, wasn't started. He picked it up and ran with it.
Most likely, he was Q.
For a considerable amount of time, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hold on. Picked it up and ran with it?
Did you not see the whole documentary?
No.
Okay. So... it originally was on 8chan, mm-hmm. and when it transitioned to it was on 4chan, and when it transitioned to 8chan, which is a server that Code Monkey's dad owned, that's when supposedly Code Monkey, like, picked it up. Supposedly someone else actually started it on 4chan.
And he hopped on it.
And he, like, fucking, you know...
basically stole it.
Kidnapped it, or hijacked it.
Was it as popular on 4chan as it was on 8chan?
Yeah, it only got more popular, like, over time.
No, I just think it's very interesting.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Plus, there's a big difference between believing that, like, you know, Rooney Mara is getting electrocuted at the carnival and the type of disinformation campaigns that can run on the internet, right?
Like, but it's just, like, it's. I think it's the idea of tricking people who are gullible into believing something. And
yeah.
So it's, like, I'm not saying it's one-to-one. I'm just saying, like, when you see the extremes that this movie goes to,
mm-hmm.
because that moment that we're talking about where she shoots her husband,
yeah,
because this guy told her that, like, her son is waiting on the other end for them, it can lead people to do extreme things.
Oh, for sure. And I think, you know, your point's 100% correct. Like,
yeah, that's,
know.
That's my only point.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You see that extreme and it's like, it's not even necessarily like, what crazy shit do people believe? It's, what does that lead to? What can that...
Right.
What's the end result of that? And I think that's kind of scary.
Yeah. I think the biggest difference is, like, it's actually more dangerous these days than it was back then.
Oh,
like,
yeah, 100%.
You know, back in the day, you could be completely conned by, like, practical cons and effects at a carnival.
And the most you would lose is a couple dollars.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, or, like, your life, if you kill yourself, if you're that fucking out there.
Dumb as shit, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, you know, today, like, you legitimately can go so far down a rabbit hole that... you know, you believe the dark cabal is taking over the country and you storm the Capitol. I mean, and you wind up in federal prison for years.
Yeah, murder multiple people.
Yeah, so very big differences, but it's the same strand of stupidity that, you know, has always been here and will always be here.
Strand of stupidity sounds like a great metal band.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ratings?
Kate Blanchett, great in this movie. Brian
very good.
Cooper, pretty interesting in this movie.
Love Rooney Mara.
William Dafoe is a fucking absolute psychopath in this movie.
Yeah.
Ryan.
I really... it kind of pissed me off that they, like... in most marketing, trailers on TV and whatnot,
yeah,
they completely left Willem Dafoe's name off of it. They would have, yeah, like, everyone else's name and, like, not include Willem Dafoe.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess I didn't realize that.
Ryan, what would you give this movie on a Max Gendo head rating?
This is a, again, a 4.25 out of 5 Gendo Max head rating.
All right, I'm going to give this a 3.75.
What I've started doing halfway through the movies, I'll start thinking about the rating.
Yeah, dude, I did that early on, and I just, like, it kind of makes me, like, not enjoy shit as much.
No, okay, so what I do is, at some point during the movie, like, halfway or 60% or whatever, I'll say, like, okay, what would I rate this movie right now? Just so I can, like, kind of think about what's happened so far,
yeah,
and then like kind of review it on the spot,
yeah,
and then I just don't think about it again. I watch the rest of the movie, and then at the end of the movie I'll be like, okay, that was my baseline. Did the ending of the movie improve or take away from that baseline rating?
From what I enjoyed,
and yeah, for this I started at a 4 about halfway through the movie, and then like the last 20-30 minutes of the movie were fantastic. And I bumped it up to 4.25.
Yeah, no, I think about it through most of the movie, and I realized that a couple months ago, so I've stopped trying to do that. I try just to enjoy everything and, like, kind of enjoy the ride. And I realized that most during Spider-Man were like, I was like, oh, is this going to happen? Is this going to happen? And then when the second time I saw it,
mm-hmm,
I kind of just enjoy the ride. Like,
For Spider-Man, I didn't think about it at all. I was, yeah, just like, this is going to be a ride. I don't want to.
Yeah. We have a special guest right now. We've got Max the Gendo inside the recording room as we talk about The Kingsman, starring Ralph Fiennes and some other British fucker I don't know.
Jesus, man. You're so angry today.
Yeah.
What happened?
I went to a Van Gogh thing. It was...
how much did you pay for that?
Inspiring. $40. Jim Arterton is in it as well as Harris
Dickinson
and Rice Ifons and Stanley Tucci, surprisingly. I was not ready for the Tucci gang.
He wasn't in it?
Yes, he was.
When?
I hate you sometimes.
Gemma Arterton was
in
it.
I literally already said her name. Gemma.
Is it Gemma?
Gemma Arterton.
She was a lovely, yeah, she's piece in one of
my
work.
She's quick on her name real fast. I'm pretty sure she's in one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, is it that
scroll down,
that really sad one?
Yes. Yeah. Just click on her shit and we'll see if that's actually her. I don't think it is actually.
That
face does not look very familiar.
Kingsman. What am I looking for, by the way?
Their Finest. Yeah, she was.
They're fine. Right. Yeah, she's Catherine Cole.
Catherine Cole. I'm watching that later now.
Who she is?
Amazing movie. If you've never seen Their Finest, go fucking watch that movie.
It's okay.
Ryan can eat a bag of dicks, as well as his dog. Yes, Stanley Tucci played the American ambassador to the British government. The one who showed... The thing.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, that was him. I'm not a fucking idiot, am I, Ryan?
No. I didn't say you were.
Well, cool.
Digimon Hunsu.
Yes. Not Digimon.
Yeah, that's what I see here. I see Digimon.
Ryan, don't be a dick. Digimon Hunsu.
As Shola.
Is in that movie. Ryan!
Yo!
What is The King's Man, not woman, about?
In the early years of the 20th century, the Kingsman Agency is formed to stand against a cabal plotting a war to wipe out millions. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, dude. Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, bro.
Fuck yeah, dude. All right, Ryan. Usually I would throw a question at you, but I'm going to go on a diatribe about this movie real fast.
Enjoy.
As he like goes on his phone and is not going to pay attention even though I'm talking to him.
You did this for me earlier, so.
Well, you know what, Ryan?
All right, carry on.
Cool. Here's the thing about this movie.
Okay.
The two Kingsman movies,
mm-hmm,
Kingsman Secret Service, Kingsman Golden Circle, this was supposed to be a prequel to as Max pitter-patters all around, have a very distinct style and distinct, like, action sequences to it.
And type of humor.
Yeah. That, like, I just didn't really get from this movie until... very like midway through this movie, and I think that's why I didn't enjoy it as much as I thought I was going to. But I still think once it got to what the core of a Kingsman movie is, I think it worked really well.
Mm-hmm.
So, do I think it's a bad movie? No, but I think they just took forever to get them to that point. And Max has fucking yeeted himself out the door.
He's gone.
So I think they just took way too long to get to what the kind of core of a Kingsman movie was.
Uh-huh.
And then they didn't even keep that core for most of it.
Okay.
And what that mean by that is, spoilers from here on out, you had Rasputin.
Yeah.
Who is an amazing character.
Fucking awesome.
And they just fucking murder his ass like 30, it's like 20 minutes into him being in the movie.
Yeah.
So that to me...
I mean, that was the entire point of their mission was to kill Rasputin.
Yeah, that's what they did. It's Rasputin. Like, don't fucking kill Rasputin. Like, Rasputin could have gotten out of that is my like point. Like,
he was assassinated in real life, so...
Okay, I'm just saying, is this movie historically accurate? No, it's not supposed to be fucking historically accurate. Like, keep Rasputin in this shit and have one of the best, like... action pieces of this movie in it throughout the thing.
Let's find out.
Okay, what actually fucking happened? That's a picture of him dead, I'm assuming.
Let's see. Yeah, actually.
No, go to the fucking picture.
Agents of the British Secret Intelligence Service were involved in responding to his assassination. So this movie is historically accurate.
Did he...
carry on with your criticism.
He killed by a fucking piece of cake, supposedly.
He wasn't killed by a piece of cake in this movie.
He was tried to. They tried to.
They tried to. It was true that he did take poison every morning.
He ate poison every morning.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying, though. Like,
can't just finish
your... No, I'm done with my thought. I'm trying to have a conversation with you, you piece of shit. It's a back...
So call me a piece of shit!
You're a piece of shit. There's a back and forth in a conversation.
No, I'm going to let you finish
rant. I'm done with my thought.
Okay. This movie was everything I ever wanted it and needed it to be. This movie was a masterclass in filmmaking. Give me this.
Keep my fucking phone.
No.
Give me it.
And it was amazing. I don't care what you say about it. I loved everything about it. All the history tie-ins.
You liked it because of the history bullshit.
I did. I loved it.
Okay.
Yes.
Take that out.
Okay.
From what the Kingsman movies were.
Right.
Was it like the Kingsman movies?
Absolutely not. And I didn't want to see, like, and honestly, if it had been that, I would have been disappointed.
Why?
Because they just, like, reskinned the original Kingsman into, like, 1915. It would have been kind of, like, repetitive. If the prequel story of the Kingsman was that they just redid Kingsman 1 with people in like 1915, that'd been kind of silly. I really liked how they, you know, started this intelligence service like behind the scenes, and everything about it was like super clever. Like the way it started was they used the servants in all the different areas of Europe and America to like feed intelligence back to central headquarters. Which the central headquarters was the home of the Duke of Oxford, who's like the main character of this movie. It was cool and clever, and it was different. And it, like, I didn't, you know, Kingsman is great. Like, I love the first Kingsman. The second Kingsman was kind of eh, but like, yeah, it's great. But I love that they did something really original with this, and they tied it into like everything that happened in like the 1910s. You had all the classics. World War One. You had the Bolshevik Revolution. You had Woodrow Wilson entering the war. I mean, all the great shit that happened. The assassination of Franz Ferdinand. It was fun. It was exactly what I expected. It was a fun movie.
So the next time a Marvel movie does something completely different, you're not gonna bitch about it.
I didn't bitch about Shang-Chi, did I? That was completely different.
Yeah, but like, when they do something completely out of the ordinary, it's not the Marvel formula, you're not going to bitch about it.
If it's good, no.
Okay, but that's not the same. Like,
yeah, it is! This is good! They did something completely different. No, it was good. We can't bitch about it.
It doesn't matter if it's good or not. If it's different...
That's what we're doing! We're reviewing movies!
Yeah, no.
It 100% matters if it's good or not.
No, if it's different, it's fine.
What are you talking about? Are you insane? What have we been doing for the past year and a half?
I'm antagonizing at this point.
What would you rate this movie?
I got 3.5.
What?
Yeah, dude. This was like...
This is going to be our biggest margin of separation.
Yeah, 100%.
In a rating movie.
I enjoyed it. Uh-huh. The No Man's Land scene.
Yes.
Fucking amazing.
Whenever they do No Man's Land, it's amazing. Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Literally, give me a whole movie of No Man's Land.
They totally should.
Somebody living in No Man's Land.
We should just make that in our backyard. Yeah. We could.
We could, absolutely. Why we got not? Enough fucking land. Just do it.
Yeah.
whatever.
Okay. You know, like...
No, I just, like... It was meh. It was kind of meh. Like...
I mean...
I enjoyed it, but it just wasn't... the crazy Kingsman movie that, like, we've gotten, and so...
It was pretty... it was pretty crazy.
It was crazy, but, like... But here's the thing. Again, the action sequences were so few and far between, and this is me saying it is, like, I love Ralph Fiennes. Fucking he killed it. But, like, everything else was so just barren. It wasn't... what I was really expecting.
Okay. I mean, the story itself was actually really well thought out and had that emotional tug to it also. Like, having the Duke of Oxford's son, you know, see his see his mother die early on in the movie, and then wanting to fight in World War One, but his dad promised his mom that, like, he wasn't gonna, you know, he was gonna protect him. And he
that's bullshit. Like, him being like, I'm gonna protect my son, and then, like, taking him to get raped by Rasputin. Like,
right.
Well, that's bullshit. That's bullshit.
He's there to protect him.
It's bullshit.
No, it's not.
He's like, I'm gonna, like, literally put him out as bait for Rasputin who wants to fuck him. Like,
sure.
That's bullshit.
It's stereotypical, but it was.
That's bullshit.
One of the best lines in the movie.
No, where it's funny, but it's still bullshit.
Where Rasputin point blank says to Ralph Fiennes, like, if I didn't know better, I think your son's trying to fuck me.
Yeah,
like just, come on. It's hilarious.
No, it's hilarious, but it's still, like, if you want to have the emotional aspect of it, you then cannot be like, hey, like, I'm going to let Rasputin fuck my son. Like,
meh. Well, not the, I mean, he wasn't going to, like,
He's gonna poison him or he's gonna get, like, fucking killed.
Like, he was right outside the door. He was gonna be right outside the door to save him.
Well, no, but then they got... Well, technically they got switched.
Yeah, but, like, if the roles were reversed, Ralph Fiennes' character would have been right outside the door. So, I am disappointed in you.
Fuck you. What are we doing here, Ryan? We're viewing movies. Okay. I have my opinion.
Okay, Alex.
It's my opinion, Ryan.
I can be disappointed about your opinion.
I'm disappointed in you, then, for liking this movie.
Fine. I don't give a shit. My self-worth isn't determined by your opinion.
I don't give a shit about you giving a shit about my opinion of Kingsman.
All right. Fine.
What would you give it?
4.5.
Holy fucking shit.
I would give this a solid 4.5 out of 5 stars.
Yeah, this is going to be the biggest one that we've ever had.
Did you like how I explained it to Grammy? Like, oh, it's a World War One movie about spies.
I laughed my ass off.
She was like, oh, that sounds like a pawpaw movie. I'm like, kind of.
Yeah.
I think he might have enjoyed this movie.
He would have hated this movie.
Okay, incoming. We're going to settle this. God damn it, Ruxton.
What did he say?
Yeah! Yeah! He had the same fucking thing! No. I'm going to tell you.
Verbatim. Open your phone up.
Okay.
This is what
I asked Ruxton. I was, what would you rate Kingsman out of 5? And he said probably a 3.5 or 4. All right, I'm disappointed in you both. Whatever.
Yeah,
boom. You don't appreciate good World War One.
Yeah, we had Ruxton and I had literally the same rating.
Comedic action movies.
Boom,
fine.
Boom, boom. Ruxton, you're invited to the next episode of the Furloughed Film Talks podcast.
Sure.
Yeah.
It is about time, you know.
Yeah, we need to have him back on. Have him come do a therapy session about Christmas.
Yeah, let's just talk all about Christmas dinner.
Yeah. Wow, this has been an eventful episode.
It has been.
Ryan's tired.
I'm hungry. I'm so hungry right now.
Ryan, thank you for being on this episode of the Furloughed Film Talks podcast.
Thank you for having me on my podcast.
You've been disinvited from everything else for having a shitty opinion about Kingsman.
Okay.
Ryan, I love you.
I love you too.
I love you so much.
It's okay.
Everybody, thank you.
We can disagree every episode. It's fine.
Yeah, we do a lot, actually. Yeah. Mostly about QAnon. So, thank you guys for talking with us on this Furloughed Film Talks podcast episode number 125. We've really fucking blown through these episodes. be sure to check out the Instagram at Furlough Film Talks, Twitter at Furlough Film. I am Alex F. Kelly on Twitter. Ryan is DDG Ryan on Twitter. Go follow us on there. We put up some crazy bullshit sometimes. I tweet a lot. Ryan doesn't tweet too much.
I tweet about once every 6 months.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Usually about my shit.
Yeah. Actually, I have been a little bit more active.
No, you need...
Past. Comes and goes. Yeah. You know.
It's a fleeting thing.
When the mood hits me, right?
Yeah, right in the balls.
Okay, Alex.
Tell three of your friends, please, about this show. We are growing exponentially. We got some cool stuff going on. Ryan was saying not so much because he's a hater.
I mean, we were really going gangbusters for like 2 weeks there.
Yeah, did you see what today's was?
I actually didn't, no.
Yeah.
Damn! Back up in the three digits. Going for that three comic club.
That's what I'm saying. Boy!
Alright.
Fast as fuck, boy! So, everybody, we got some cool stuff coming up. Make sure to check it out once we do. Have a great rest of your week, and we look forward to talking movies with you next time.
Adios, amigos!